What's up with billionaires? Consider this for a minute. We have a bunch of very, very rich people on this little space ball that we call Earth. These people throw money at things, as one would if $100 bills were as insignificant as toilet paper compared to your net worth. But the things they throw money at are quite a bit weird. Brain preservation, biotechnology, nanorobotics, consciousness uploading, and if you are actually rich, you can even build your own space rockets. There is something strange happening in the intersection of wealth, technology, and religion. A new ideology for the rich and powerful takes shape in front of our eyes. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, the owners of the world try to shape the future to their liking through buying politicians, newspapers, and now, more and more often, research labs. Techno-capital is now flowing into the labs, stuffed with underpaid grad students, who probably consumed way too much Adderall during their PhD years and aren't entirely sure how they ended up researching naked mole rats for Google executives. The world is a strange place, and so billionaires are really interested in these little skin sausages and other phallic objects of power. Today in this video, I suggest we take a break from our scheduled program where I talk about middle-income fascists and talk about rich fascists instead. So, what unites astrophysics, biotechnology, and quantum computing, besides the fact that I can't understand any of those things? Why do billionaires believe that they save humanity by investing in cryonics and rocket engines while millions of people starve and die from preventable diseases? I sure hope you are ready to work forever for cryogenically preserved and AGI-augmented Elon Musk, as today we're taking a look at techno-futurism for the ultra-rich.
Well, in a capitalist society, you know, it seems like you could really get so far ahead that before everybody else could afford this thing and link up and get connected as well, you'd be so far ahead they could never catch you. Is that a concern?
We all love our futuristic ideas, from complete yet barely edible food substitutions to AI girlfriends and interstellar travel. There is no shortage of amazing ideas in human heads. You and I are free to choose how we imagine the world of the future. But some of the people on this planet are rich enough to implement their ideas into reality. Oh, and let me tell you, do they have ideas to invest in? Chips in the brains? Sure. Brain uploading? Got it. Would you like some robot arms for your Amazon job? Or maybe a direct Pornhub connection straight into your eyeballs? The future is indeed bright. When we talk about the destruction of planet for profit, we often look at capitalism as a system or at billionaires as a class. This is a correct way to do the analysis of socioeconomic issues. But I don't like to do the analysis the correct way. I want to have foldable knives in my arms, like in Cyberpunk. So instead, I will focus on a niche area of billionaire influence – techno-futurism. A future where billionaires are immortalized in their private server shrines, while the rest of us are – well, that is not of any significance where the rest of us end up, isn't it? We aren't that better than robots anyway. Don't you feel shame in the face of efficient chatbots? They are all-knowing and very quick, so much cleaner and better than human meat brains. Shame in the face of technology is not unusual. Günther Anders, who will reappear later in this video, was one of the core thinkers to explore our feeling of inferiority whenever we're faced with our own inventions. Machines are better, stronger, faster, and now smarter than us, which means we are left to service the machines, to aid the technology that is better than us, till eventually we invent a final machine that will solve all of our problems and fix us as well. AGI puts all of humanity to shame as it is supposed to resolve all of our issues, from colon cancer to climate change. And of course, it will also develop all the necessary technology to bring us to immortality, or even develop a technology to reverse aging and disease. So let us talk a little bit about immortality and other upcoming billionaire contributions to your work schedule. I'd like to start this video with an open proclamation that I want to die. Preferably not today, though. A life that lasts to 90 with no cancer, arthritis, or dementia? Sure, I would like science to get us there. But something about being frozen, sliced up, and uploaded into a server doesn't personally attract me. This relationship with death, however, is not reflective of the desires of tech billionaires. Our overlords invest quite a bit of money into all sorts of ideas that have the word longevity included in their sales pitch. One funny case, of course, is that of Brian Johnson, who lives his life in a prison-like regiment for the sake of a few extra seconds of breathing. He sheds all of the human parts of his character as his flesh is converted into a stream of metrics and data points. With that pace of life, Brian may already be uploaded into a server or plopped into a liquid nitrogen cylinder in the Alcor facility. For his motto, "Don't die," also means "Don't live." Brian is a funny character with a public masochistic kink, but the same obsessions can be also seen in more human-looking billionaires like Sam Altman, Peter Thiel, or even Elon Musk. Though the last one does look more like a fridge lately. Pretty much all tech billionaires invest millions into their side projects that are supposed to achieve immortality or at least longevity for their core investors. One easy way of becoming immortal is to have children. That is something many people do. Children are not an issue if it was not for the fact that billionaire reproduction becomes technically augmented in very strange ways. From excessive use of surrogacy and sponsoring IVFs to loading sperm banks with billionaire juice, the amount of technological mediation that takes place in billionaire procreation is so strange that I'm not even completely sure if these people have sex or they just pass each other a USB stick. The other way we can try to become immortal is to leave a legacy in a non-child form, such as a project, a body of research, or an artwork. This is also not a big deal if it was not for the fact that ultra-rich have to turn everything into a dick-measuring contest. Modern billionaires continue old tradition of the rich and prioritize investments into their legacy over the well-being of the living people within their own communities. Modern billionaires openly note that they desire to colonize space in one way or another. Moon bases, Mars bases, asteroid mining, space colonies, interstellar travel, interplanetary colonization, terraforming, and star energy harvesting – all are on the menu of ideas for the ultra-rich. Whomever is successful in executing any of these monumental ideas will also be remembered forever and will be very, very rich. Building a Mars colony, for example, will secure Musk a legacy that his pesky, mortal, fleshy children will never be able to provide him. But the last, the best way to achieve immortality is to actually become immortal yourself. Biotech, chemistry, computer science, astronomy, and other STEM research centers more often find themselves under the wing of techno-capitalists who seek technological solutions to the limits of human flesh. The important implication of this urge to immortality is who can become an immortal augmented overlord and when. Billionaire investments come with the premise that people who sponsor those scientific breakthroughs are also the selected few who, by the nature of their contributions, would like to be the first in line to receive the benefits of their projects. So technology is not just a fun hobby for the rich, but a way to become personally immortal, or in the worst case, to leave an immortal legacy. Jeffrey currently views Blue Origin as his main project, not Amazon.
Blue Origin needs to be much faster, and it's one of the reasons that I left my role as the CEO of Amazon a couple of years ago. I wanted to come in, and Blue Origin needs me right now. And
on that note, I believe Jeff Bezos remains the most sane billionaire when it comes to ultra-rich techno-futurism. He views the Blue Origin as a little small step in a long way to achieve his personal dream of resolving the resource overconsumption by transferring large groups of people out of the Earth into the space colonies. Consensually, of course. Oh, and yes, I am starting this video with a mild defense of Jeff's mass displacement dream because this is somehow one of the least problematic ideas in this video. Implications of most ideas presented by tech billionaires are, at best, questionable and, at worst, highly problematic. And, you know, I'm not saying this because I think dreaming is bad or technology is bad. A lot of scientific and technological breakthroughs were achieved by people with weird dreams and strange ideas. Instead, my problem is that the ultra-rich waste money on techno-futurist horseshit that sounds impressive, but is not meant to deliver on its promises. Or even worse, they actually invest in tech that is anti-human or will be actively used to worsen the lives of people, such as augmented weapon systems, surveillance, and data extraction. And speaking of the horseshit investments, let's talk about mind uploading for a second. There are many ideas on how to turn yourself into a computer, but in general, mind uploading is a necessary step for humans to transcend human flesh forever. And so, of course, money needs to be spent. There are several philosophical complications with mind uploading, but I will ignore them for the sake of your precious time and will only speak about practical complications. The best current technology for brain uploading is known as connectome uploading. It is a group of biotech solutions that aim to preserve the brain to the point of its cell structure, then slice it, scan those slices, and try to map neuron connections onto the software. This method is believed to preserve both memories and consciousness of a person by those who believe that brain function can be reduced to a map of neuron synapses. Here is an example of fruit fly connectome. All this sounds legitimate and very cool. But the problem is that actually preserving a blob of the human brain to the necessary level of detail is quite difficult. Simple freezing results in cell damage and affects the scans. After that, there is a problem with what exactly we are trying to upload. While neuron connections are important, mediator molecules and receptors play an important role in signal transfer. Other structures of cells, such as cell membranes, microtubules, and ribosome complexes, play a role as well. Some even argue that the state of atoms and molecules in the cell structure can play a role in how we experience consciousness, known as a quantum theory of consciousness. To top it off, all those biochemical structures are changing inside of your brain all the time, as you wonder why I give you a microbiology lecture in the middle of the video about billionaires. And by the way, I am not done yet. Even if we say that the brain and not the nervous system makes a full connectome, if we get the technology to successfully preserve human connectome, and if we upload it fully onto a computer that has enough computational power to run it, even then, we won't actually upload consciousness. We will create a model of physical connections in one sample of the human brain. The field of connectome preservation is pioneered by Dr. Hayworth, who is a techno-futurist, but of a different kind. He's a scientist. He believes that there is no true self or consciousness. And you and I are just sums of our neuron chains firing.
Once you get that high-resolution map of how every neuron connects to every neuron, that is like having a map of the circuit diagram of your computer and its information on the hard drive and everything else that is the information processing in that computer. So that map really contains all of our memories, it contains all of our skills, all of our ability to perceive stuff, all of the routines that create our self-model. All that has to happen to make those alive again.
That's it. Man just wants his brain model. He doesn't care about anyone's ideas of consciousness or what complications it implies. And, you know, I totally understand that the temporality of human existence is frightening. But nothing about getting brains taken out, sliced, and locked into a computer simulation for grad students suggests to me that this is a path to immortal paradise. Cryonics, the field adjacent to mind uploading, or a technological complex that tries to freeze people to maybe unfreeze them later, suffers from the similar set of different problems. There is no good tech that would properly freeze the body without damaging cells. There is no technology for long-term storage. There is no technology to unfreeze those expensive billionaire popsicles. And there is no way to manage previously frozen materials once defrosted. Fraser facilities like Alcor or Y Combinator are endorsed by billionaires like Sam Altman, but lack any scientific approval.
The cryo process causes massive, probably unrecoverable damage to the body. There is no technology now or even vaguely on the horizon that could reverse that damage. But whatever is left, patient, corpse, assembly of frozen stuff, gets stacked up in stainless steel containers here, submerged in liquid nitrogen, until, well, until it's possible to recover them, which could very well be never.
This facility is proposed to freeze the corpses of rich people, their heads, brains, or their pets, till some magical future times when their very dead corpses, damaged by frostbite, can be safely defrosted, repaired, and cured from whatever killed them in the first place, and even rejuvenated to the eternal youth. Yes, I shit you not. Alcor's website also, in a way, implies that these dead, frozen bodies are actually alive, because in their definition of death, what can be revived, or I guess defrosted in the magical future, is not yet dead. In that way, if you believe a company premise, what Alcor is selling is not just long-term freezer storage for human meat, but actual immortality. Unrealistic delusions of the ultra-rich are backed by money and fantasies, even if they lack any scientific evidence. And so, brain power gets invested into the projects that are destined to produce nothing except for carbon footprint and drunk science graduates. The most terminal example of billionaire fantasies is perhaps Elon's obsession with putting chips into brains. In his view, having a battery and a computer component floating in the skull is supposed to be a miracle that will cure every disease, connect us directly to the internet, and eliminate the need for verbal communication.
And what is the, besides restoring limb function and eyesight and hearing, which are all amazing, is there any cognitive benefits that you anticipate from something like this?
Once you enjoy the Dr. Manhattan lifestyle, once you become a god, seems very, very unlikely you're going to want to go back to being stupid again. I mean, you literally could fundamentally change the way human beings interface with each other.
Yes.
You wouldn't need to talk.
Good luck trying to shut me up, Elon. I'll be yapping all the way till they throw my body into a box. Irrational fantasies of billionaires are supported by some writers and thinkers. Deep Utopia by Nick Boston takes on the same techno-futurist position, and I absolutely hate this book. The author unironically states that we will develop parenting robots that will be raising children far better than humans, and that robot parents would be preferred to biological parents. Instead, he notes that humans will only need to interfere with their children when they want to enjoy their company, and that not subjecting a child to robotized parenting would be viewed as harmful and limiting to a child. I am so sorry, but what the actual manic shit is this argument? The biggest problem that this book can imagine is not a scorched planet ruled by corporations that use drone weapons to force masses to maintain servers with uploaded billionaires, but a world where people get bored from living too long. I think Deep Utopia is so irritating to me, not only because it is actually two books terribly merged together, but because the author fails to acknowledge that today, already, some live in a post-human condition, while others can't even get resources to maintain a human level of existence. So for those who already outsource all aspects of childbirth, development, care, and parenting to other people who they see merely as service machines, the idea of robots raising their children will not seem as deranged as it seems to me. The struggles of a regular person are not experienced by the ultra-rich, and the struggles of the ultra-rich are not experienced by the regular people. I mean, what was the last time you were worried that your personal space company may have issues securing state funds? Their detachment from the rest of the world affects many aspects of their behaviors and choices. This is why we are currently investing a lot of money and brain power into random shit that sounds impressive on a Joe Rogan podcast. And so, technology today continues to detach from the needs of the regular people. And now it is also detached from science and tech itself, and from the curiosity of the people working in STEM to begin with. Also, if you haven't noticed yet, ideas of mind uploading, space travel, immortality, brain microchips, and such, they all have a particular vibe to them. Something is lingering behind these megalomaniac technocratic fantasies of the wealthy. AGI is presented to us as an all-powerful god. It is promised to solve all issues. It will solve climate change, develop cures for all diseases. It will make us immortal and tell us why we are alive. Billionaires reimagine themselves as manifestations of the god in the flesh, as if they are the pharaohs who are supposed to represent sun god on earth. Priests, such as media hosts, philosophers, and commentators who support the holy status of tech billionaires, spread their ideas of artificially created god into reality. With AGI god comes a new set of clergy, scientists and engineers who are able to commune with the god and make sure that our relationship with the holy computer is mediated in a proper manner. In addition, there is also the development of the cultural behaviors around AGI. We ought to treat it with shame for our sinful incompetence and for the desires of our flesh, which are not known to the flawless computerized intelligence. With dozens of priests and preachers who support the holy status of tech billionaires and the AGI they try to create, millions of simple people line up in support of tech billionaire ideas, in the hope that they, too, one day will be uploaded into heaven. And as a cherry on that cake, we get a new set of death rituals, a necessary component of any religion. So the new death rituals include chilling the body, removing its brains, preserving them, and uploading a personalized brain map into a computer model. If all goes well, your grandma goes to Twitter heavens. As prescribed, the rulers can also get their own fancy version of the mummification and private servers for their connectomes. We can also have temples for servers with brains of our family members where we go to donate some money so that the clergy doesn't delete them off the server. Perhaps we can even collectively work to maintain those temples and make them look all nice and pretty so that there is a sense of cultural identity in the place that stores our memories. That's what 60 hours of billionaire content did to my brain. I am so sorry. Anyway, let's return to billionaire popsicles. This is a great time to introduce Michael Shermer, a skeptic, a researcher of religion, an atheist to the bone, and a man deeply involved in mind uploading and cryonics research.
What is the probability that Yahweh is the one true God in Amun-Ra, Aphrodite, Apollo, Baal, Brahman, Ganesha, Isis, Mithras, Osiris, Shiva, Thor, Vishnu, Wanton, Zeus, and the other 986 gods are all false gods? You guys are atheists just like me of all the gods I just rattled off. Some of us just go one god further.
He calls this situationship between technology and religion an afterlife for atheists. He clearly identifies the link between religious heavens and technological heavens, and the link between pseudo-scientific techno-futurism and religious miracles. I can tell you that it doesn't take more than 5 podcasts of Elon Musk to realize that any technology that he is involved in is viewed by him as an ultimate salvation for humanity, especially buying Twitter for some reason.
XFK Twitter should represent the sort of collective consciousness of humanity.
When we go back to someone like Jeff Bezos, we can note that his ideas of space colonization are driven by the ideas of creating paradise, a post-scarcity utopian society of immortal beings voyaging through space. Sam Altman sees mind uploading in the same way. Augmentation and AGI will come over like an internet Jesus and save us from our deaths and our misfortunes. Peter Thiel thinks that unregulated tech accelerationism is a way to create a true technological paradise where all of us, and surely not just himself, will live forever in a post-scarcity society. Even Bill Gates, in his slightly outdated philanthropy, is using the same ideological framework in his campaigns for public health and infrastructure. We think he is just building toilets, but what he is actually doing is bringing the poor and needy one step closer to techno-capitalist paradise. Another observation of Shermer that is applicable to the ultra-rich struggle for technological paradise is the idea of heavens on earth. Or the fact that the paradise of our making is always looking like something that we desire, while we are still alive. In the same way as a trip to heaven, mind uploading or augmentation is supposed to transcend our corporeal form. It is supposed to take us to better places, to the stars. It will provide us endless entertainment, and there will be no hunger and no pain. Surely, sounds familiar. Shermer doesn't explore the relationship between ultra-rich and their workers in a technological paradise because it is quite outside of his area of interest. He also does not talk about the fact that, so far, societal acceleration to billionaire paradise only leaves people separated from each other, mentally ill and physically exhausted. We didn't even get to that part of history where we all get a screen strapped to our eyeballs or implanted into our eye sockets, and yet it seems we already feel like shit. Philosopher and writer Günther Anders, who was about to be forgotten by history but was recovered in the last decade, explores the topic of technology and alienation. He calls the state of human-machine singularity an artificially produced schizophrenia, a state where an individual is fractured not only in relation to other people but also internally in relation to himself. Artificially produced schizophrenic is a person who unsuccessfully seeks to destroy parts of his humanity, be it hunger, lust, sorrow, or joy. He is destined to atomize himself from society, but also to separate himself from himself. He is more suited to be a component of a machine than to be a guest at a dinner table. I think if we would dig out Anders' bones, restore his body with nanorobots, and power up his brain, he would ask, are we really imagining that any sort of post-scarcity society for all can come to us from the technology developed by people who, as a social group, for centuries, used technology to enslave, destroy, and control other people to no interest other than their own? And so, here, I guess, is a good point to depart from delusional techno-optimistic dreams of post-scarcity and face reality. And the reality is that for the last decades, technological progress, with very rare exceptions, has moved only for two reasons: to develop more advanced tools for killing people or to financially benefit corporations. It is very clear to me that the goals ultra-rich set for technology or their fantasies of technological advancements are not motivated by the desire to build a better world for all, but by the desire to build a paradise for oneself. Techno-futurist dreams of singularity, AGI, and interstellar travel cover a purely economic desire to harness scientific and technological brain power for profit extraction, and to use scientific and technological potential to recreate the world into the personalized utopia for the rich. Longevity research is a great example of a waste of a large quantity of human and material resources on the dream of a wealthy few. Despite several large-scale research projects backed seemingly by every rich guy who is not yet frozen, so far, no amount of naked mole rats or attempts at gene therapy extends life better than an age-old advice of eating a balanced diet, being physically active, and sleeping well. Ultra-rich don't just privatize and profit off the science and technological industries, but attempt to reshape research to fit their own personalized illusions, greed, and blind optimism. They do not care about the use of technology or about resource investments as far as they are personally benefiting from the technology at any level. This desire for blind technological accelerationism resembles 20th century discourse around nuclear military technology. For several decades, the arguments against the development of nuclear weapons were deferred by critics who would insist that weapons have to be developed. Otherwise, we would stall the progress of technology and the enemy would develop them first. This all sounds very cool until you realize that over the 20th century, people invested a ton of resources into a technology that was made to be unusable. While we could live in a world of well-developed nuclear infrastructure, we chose to fear nuclear plants but embraced nuclear weapons. The modern AI race carries a similar vibe, with company CEOs insisting that they need to develop AI first or else China robots will come for us. Money and resources are poured into a race to automation and AGI under the premise that AI and AI augmented machines can significantly improve our quality of life. But in reality, automation and AI technology are currently used to increase surveillance, kill people, harvest personal data, produce misinformation, and push people into poverty.
The footage confirms a potential threat. The drone footage shows an enemy T-80 main battle tank. Generate 3 courses of action to target this enemy equipment.
Of course, tech billionaires are interested in technological progress. They are so interested in progress, in fact, that it doesn't matter what it takes to turn their dystopian paradise into reality. Children with black lungs, collapsing climate, extreme poverty, and food insecurity, all sacrifices are justified as long as the technocratic monarchs of the world get the technology to live forever and play with rockets. Marginal cases like Peter Thiel view any opposition to his personal utopia as a shady bureaucratic deep state or the hand of a woke Hollywood or, in the best case, artists hating on tech for no reason at all. He suggests that we silence the critics and artists and blindly follow him and other ultra-rich into the futuristic paradise that they are so eagerly promising. Seriously, we use technology and science to develop enough weapons of lasting mass destruction to turn Earth into Venus. We did syphilis experiments on black men in poverty. We still torture animals in the labs on a commercial scale. And we still use experimental weapons on children. And Peter Thiel thinks that the problem of modern science is that it is too concerned with ethics. All this is bringing us to a question. Why would anyone really think that their personal vision of a technocratic utopia is acceptable or desirable for the whole planet? Whenever Shermer talks about the faith component of technological immortality, he indirectly asks the same question. Why would anyone think that they are the chosen ones who get to decide how the paradise for all is supposed to look like? And you know, all people to some extent believe that we're special. And indeed, you should be a little special to yourself. This experience of being special can play a trick on us and make us believe that we are not just special to ourselves, but we're special, chosen people. And for an ultra-rich person, it is impossible not to think of themselves as special. In some way, it is by design. People who accumulate wealth but know what it means to have enough and live happily don't become billionaires. They simply retire early. Ultra-rich have a special, endless drive in them, a drive for power, wealth, and consumption. Success in a capitalist competition can be viewed as a merit that makes billionaires special people, living in special times. In fact, they are so special that indeed they are the ones who deserve to live forever, no matter how many dead children in the mines it would take. Being special means that achieving utopia for the ultra-rich, immortality, Mars colonies, and any other billionaire fantasies are justified because those who wield the power of capital are special, but those who work for wages are not. This echoes the work of creation philosopher and writer Srećko Horvat on the ideas of Anders and on modern position of billionaires. In his words, in need of new resources for extraction, accumulation, and profit, they seek to colonize space, even if the price is the destruction of Earth. Günther Anders was an interesting thinker, though he is not a famous one. He is one of the earliest techno-pessimists who talked about the effects of media such as TV and radio on people. But above all, he is famous for his work on space exploration and even more so on nuclear weapons. He noted specifically that technological progression in his time, in the 20th century, was linked to the self-destructive urges of humanity. This trend continues as we have billionaires like Elon Musk or Jeffrey Bezos, who consciously try to get people out of the Earth seemingly for safety, yet destroy the planet in the process. In the process of making space livable, billionaires are willing to destroy the place that is already livable to begin with, often making a simple excuse that the problems that we have today on this planet can be resolved later once we are the interplanetary post-human species. I am, of course, deep into fiction here, but the world where we are harvested as resources for the needs of the rich is way easier to imagine than the world where we are harvested by rough AGI, and it reflects our everyday reality anyway. Billionaire technocracy is an atomic bomb of the 21st century, a capability that we aim to develop despite the implications of its use. in the words of Andrus himself. By the way, today, the postulate, the end does not justify the means, is no longer valid. Rather, the contrary, the means does not justify the end, is. The fact that means known as the atomic bomb exist does not justify its goal, its use. In their urge to bring technology closer to us and use technology to bring a post-scarcity society, what techno-billionaires seem to achieve, intentionally or not, is the opposite development. They are bringing us closer to technological singularity while polarizing wealth and resource inequality. See, technological singularity actually does not require fancy technology such as brain chips or AGI as much as it requires already existing hardware, us, to become adapted to the technology that we have. We are already trained to operate in singularity with the clock, a little simple machine that we use to regulate our everyday regimens. We trained ourselves to extract necessary data from search engines and to spend all day staring at the screens while sitting in chairs. Singularity is at our fingertips. As soon as we build AI that is fine enough for us to adapt to, we can remake ourselves to be adapted to the machine of our invention. Once you and I can't get sustenance from working as humans, we will learn to pretend to be robots very, very quickly.
How's your night going, sir?
Good. I said, are you being remote controlled?
Today, I'm assisted by a human. I'm not yet fully autonomous.
Thank you.
Here you go, sir.
In this scenario, replacing the self with a computerized simulation of self is actually preferred. At least, playing pretend won't be necessary. And you know, whenever Peter Thiel gets frustrated with the way artists treat his dystopian horror of accelerated and unregulated plutocracy, I think he completely misses the point. Actually, the only people who can reflect on the reality that AlterRich are trying to build are artists, because there is no scientific or rational way to process the world where people ought to reject the most human parts of themselves.
All the culture, all the politics hates science and technology in all forms. The easy way to see this is you just look at all the science fiction movies. They always show technology that kills people, destroys things, doesn't work, is dystopian. The future is going to be a combination of Terminator, Matrix, Avatar, Elysium.
The more I listen to billionaires talk, the more distant, unreasonable, and strange their futuristic dreams sound to me. It leaves me wondering if AlterRich or their unironic fans ever really felt complete to themselves. Did they ever for a moment feel that they themselves and the world around them are enough? You know, the feeling you may get after completing a difficult task or finding yourself in the beautiful scenery, or when you look at your child learning to do something or hug a person who is very important to you. That temporal feeling of fulfillment and higher happiness that people can feel when we catch ourselves fully absorbed into a moment, when we feel that we and the world around us for a brief moment are complete. Do these people ever feel that way? Because it sure seems to me that they don't. Billionaires and those who adopt their mindset seem to me so detached from people around them and reality in general that they can't imagine any other solution to this atomization but an escape to an alternative world. They think and act as if they'd rather turn themselves and everyone else into feelingless, standardized, and predictable computers on a spaceship in a galaxy far, far away, because that condition would be preferred to their current state of existence. In billionaires' hands, philosophers, scientists, engineers, and workers who create their utopias become tools of creation. We are little robots, unconscious tools whose function is to bring billionaire dystopian desires into reality and then dissolve into the internet, into space, or into the earth. In a similar manner, anti-humanist ideas like those of Yarvin or Nick Land become central to billionaire techno-futurism. Anti-humanist philosophy is a perfect tool for billionaires because it allows them to justify the amount of suffering that is required to build their utopias. In the end, we all want to feel good about ourselves, don't we? Anti-humanist philosophical ideas allow billionaires to prioritize machines or any other technology over the needs of people or anything that is alive, for that matter. Peter Thiel is perhaps the best example of the application of anti-humanist thought, and he is a man with an actual plan to build his dystopia by any means necessary. Now, he and Elon Musk are becoming barnacles on the ass of the US government. And finally, with governmental power, funds, and control over technological and industrial complexes, all the tools are at their disposal. Peter Thiel covers up with the conspiratorial vocabulary while sweating on internet podcasts. He talks about deep state, woke elites, and Bill Gates immunization campaigns, and describes how everybody around him is so powerful and evil. He seems to ignore the fact that, like all the rich everywhere, he wields the power of the capital and controls the hands of politicians that he bankrolls. Peter Thiel is anti-establishment in the same way that early capitalists were against monarchy. He doesn't like the existing system of power, but only because it doesn't give enough power personally to him. Peter Thiel is often presented as a unique, evil genius, but I believe he is not. There are hundreds of people like him with the same wealth and the same desire to convert their money into power. He is just another rich guy hungry for ultimate power, someone who wishes he could play a king or perhaps a god. No matter what language he is using to lie to others and to himself about his role in a society, Thiel is sitting on the top of the pyramid and not in its shade. And just as before for any rich person, the humanity of other people is a problem for the ultra-rich. Wealthy and powerful always try to standardize, predict, and control the behaviors of other humans. Or else there is a risk that they get turned into sausage by the masses. Whenever ultra-rich describe their heavens on earth, they wish to standardize human behavior to an extent where humans simply do not differ from machines. They desire to create a world controlled by the rich and operated by obedient, predictable, and replaceable machines. Even better if those machines can be robotic and not biological. Mechanical machines are easier to service and easier to replace. Billionaire philosophy is that of extinction. They desire to eradicate all that is human in humans and all that may be human in other animals in exchange for something that a soulless person like Thiel can understand and rule over. Only the god is allowed to be a contrarian. You, however, should obey. Ultra-rich pretend to dress like normal people. They pretend to live like normal people and pretend to share the same struggles that normal people do. In reality, there are only three things that connect billionaires to a regular person. They breathe, they shit, and they die. Eliminating the limitations of simple animal biology is then necessary to fully transcend their position in society, to become gods in their own personal heavens. And well, I like my videos to have good endings, but life is not a Disney movie, and sometimes there is not much good that I can end on. So instead, I will leave you with some vaguely inspirational messaging. The rise of billionaires to full power is currently in progress. It will have lasting effects on the world. I do not see any timely means to stop it. So instead, we must start somewhere, and we must start building awareness of the actual motives behind billionaire promises. Those who seek ultimate power need to be vigorously questioned, and in my opinion, should be also vigorously opposed. Behind the desire to change the world by means of power, financial or otherwise, is a desire to control, to destroy, and to oppress, even if that power hunger is sugar-coated by space programs. Ultra-rich deserve no support or approval, no matter how sweet of a song they sing on Joe Rogan's podcasts. Billionaires burden others with the oppressive corporate structures that they build. and they burden the planet with the projects that will not produce any technological gain. They burden the world of the present with their deattached fantasies. And once dead, they will burden future generations with their frozen billionaire popsicles in the cryopreservation chambers. Funding that they provide for science and tech will not alleviate human suffering, lest it does so by pure accident. Quite the opposite. Technology built by the rich will be used to profit themselves and make their own lives easier at expense of everybody else's. Due to the decades of PR campaigns, general populations are not equipped to talk about the power of the tech billionaires. Some instead reserve to conspiracy theories that carry the same techno-pessimist frustrations but fail to identify the source of the technological threat. Conspiracies surrounding deep state, 15-minute cities, climate manipulations, and infamous Jewish space lasers all share the same fear of new technology being used to control and subvert masses for one reason or another. Though popular with many, these conspiracies fail to link techno-pessimism to the agents that directly wield techno-capital in our society. Conspiracies are too hesitant to question real authority, as such acts would undermine other conservative structures of belief, where the power of the strong leader is perceived as an ultimate good, which it isn't. Thus, conservative movements will never be able to challenge the power of techno-capital. They will only rotate between worshipping billionaires, imagining new conspiracies, and trying to figure out how to blame gays for the loss of labor power. Outside of conservative circles, there is very little opposition to techno-capitalist ideas or billionaire investments, really anywhere else. This is a feature that we should note. Just as surveillance became normalized in the early 2000s under the umbrella of safety security, the next wave of technology coming from the ultra-wealthy will be advertised to us as something that we should willingly accept. Techno-capital will not come to us as an army or as violence, but as a hand of support from the wealthy. It will come as a contract to abandon your own freedom and humanity in return for billionaire protection. So make sure that whenever anti-human technology comes to your community, family, or to yourself, that there is no need for you to accept it. Oh, hey there! Thank you for watching this video. Like all of my videos, this one is sponsored by Athena, Nicolas Oviedo, and my other lovely patrons. Consider joining them. That way, I can have enough money to slice my brain and scan it into YouTube so I can make these videos forever. Otherwise, thank you for watching and subscribe so we see each other on the next one.
You know, it's true that the universe at some point is going to die a cold heat death a trillion years from now or whatever it is. But so what? We live now.
Right.
And the Earth isn't expanding. Brooklyn's not expanding. So now is what counts. Speaking when you